All right, guys. 1 John chapter 2. How is everyone today?
Good.
Thank you, Elijah, for the word of encouragement there. And you guys just remember what he spoke to you guys about, that we are the body. Please, as we prayed earlier, remember to keep Lauren in prayer. And those who are missing tonight, let's keep them in prayer and just let them know, let everyone know who's not here tonight that we missed them, we love them, hope to see them soon. Okay, 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to review the verses from last week, which were 12, 13, and 14, which said, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. First of all, John tells his little children, meaning his beloved children, is a term of endearment, you know, whether smaller or older in age, that our sins are forgiven for Christ's name's sake. And then he goes on to speak to fathers and tells them that, I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him, Christ, who is from the beginning. Christ was in the beginning. He has always been in the beginning. And some of these fathers possibly might have even, you know, some of them are older in age, possibly have seen Him with their eyes. Hence that, you know, John, in earlier in chapter 1, he says that we have heard, we have seen, we have touched. Some of these fathers possibly have seen Christ in the beginning of Christ's ministry on the earth when He came as a man. Then he's right to us, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Right to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Three different stages of spiritual maturity. Little children, young men, and fathers. Okay, little children can understand basic things of God. Okay, they can even, you know, go as far as, you know, the older they get, that they know how to be saved, and that they can say Abba, Father, knowing that God is their Father. And young men, you know, young ladies, young men, that, you know, we can overcome the wicked one through Him. Later on, he talked about young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you. It's nothing strong in us that we have overcome the wicked one, but the Word of God abiding us, Christ in us, is able to overcome the wicked one. Okay, so to our text tonight, verses 15 through 17. Everyone there? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Okay, so John, right after he's written to his beloved children, and addressing the fathers, the young men, and the children. Now he goes right into, okay, do not love the world or the things in the world. Now, John does not mean here that we should not love the world as in God's creation. Nor does John mean here that we shouldn't love one another, since we are commanded, right, to love one another. And we often find ourselves in awe of God's creation, you know, and when we go on our backpacking trips, you know, just how beautiful it is in the mountains. That's part of, just a little part of God's glorious creation. And in fact, you know, we always end up giving praise and glory to Him when we're looking at these creations. Just this week, I think it was Tuesday, the day, or maybe it was even Wednesday, it was the day that the storm kind of cleared out from Albuquerque. And as I was driving home, I was looking at the Sandia Mountains, and you know, they were just white, white, white with all the snow. And above that, it was just the crystal blue, I mean, clear skies. And it was like light blue. And so here I am looking at the Sandia Mountains, and they're just white. And right above it is just clear blue skies. And it was so beautiful. And I just began to praise God, give Him the glory. He created it. And it was so beautiful. His creation brings glory to Himself. You know, so John is not saying here that we cannot, you know, love God's creation. We can, and we praise Him for it. Again, nor does it mean that we can't love each other, because we are commanded to love one another. The word love here is agapeo, and it means to love in a social or moral sense. Okay, so he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Do not love the world because the world does not look to do the will of God, does it? Not at all. Nor does the world look to please God. It looks to please itself. Nor does the world look to love Him with all of its heart, soul, mind, and strength. Nor does it look to love its neighbor as itself. But the world as we know it, and in John's time, is self-seeking and has its mind set on the flesh. That's the world that John is talking about. Do not love that world, because that world is at enmity with God. It has its mind set on the flesh, fulfilling the desires of its flesh. It is evil, it's sinful. And then he goes on to say, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if one continues in his love for this world and its pleasures and its evil desires, how can the love of the Father dwell in this person? Can we live in this world and love the sinful things of this world, the flesh, the lustful desires, and the love of the Father dwell in us? No. We cannot love both. The love of God and the love of earthly things are incompatible. If you give place to the love of the world, the love of God cannot dwell in you. And if you love, if you have not His love, you can have no peace, no holiness, no heaven, Adam Clark writes. Listen to that again. The love of God and the love of earthly things are incompatible. If you give place to the love of the world, the love of God cannot dwell in you. And if you have not His love, you can have no peace, no holiness, or no heaven. Matthew 6:24 says this. Listen up. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we cannot both love the world and love the sinful things in it and love God. They're incompatible. They're against each other. If we're caught up in the world and its evil, sinful things, the love of the Father is not going to dwell in us. We cannot serve two masters. There's only one master we serve. That is either the world or God. One is leading to destruction. One is leading to a glorious eternal life with God in heaven. But we are not of this world, are we? If you're a child of God, we are not of this world. We are called to be set apart, different, not to be conformed. We are the ones that are supposed to be the aliens here, strangers. Okay, this is not our home. So why in the world would we be acting as if this was our home? Why in the world would we be acting as if, hey, this is my home, I'm going to fit right in? Why? Why would we be acting like that? Is there someone else other than God that we are trying to please? Is there? Are we trying to please someone else other than God? Hopefully not. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And to be a bondservant of Christ is a privilege. A privilege. To be a bondservant of Christ. We should not be looking to please men. Please those of us, you know, please the ones at school or at work. No. There's only one person we need to be pleasing, and that is God. Again, it is a privilege to be a bondservant of Christ, and which is in contrast to being a slave to sin. Would you rather be still dead in your trespasses and a slave to sin, or be a servant of Christ? It's a privilege to be a servant of Christ. Verse 16. Now he goes on to say, but you know, what things are you talking about in this world? John, tell us, okay? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh. Well, first of all, the word lust is from the Greek word epithumia. And it means a longing, especially for what is forbidden. A longing, a desire for what is forbidden. That which we're not supposed to have, we're longing for. We're desiring it. That's what lust is. And flesh here, meaning human nature with its frailties and passions, or especially a human being as being carnal-minded, okay, sinful-minded. Barnes writes this, the phrase, the lust of the flesh, here denotes that which pampers the appetites, or all that is connected with the indulgent of the mere animal propensities. A large part of the world lives for little more than this. This is the lowest form of worldly indulgence. Those which are immediately specified being of a higher order, though still merely worldly. So what are the lusts of the flesh? What is he talking about here? What is the lust of the flesh? We'll turn real quick to Galatians chapter 5. Verses 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not. Doesn't say, well, they might not. No, those who practice these things, the works of the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:17, just previous, said that the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. They're at war with one another. The flesh and the spirit, they're at war with one another. So I ask you, what are we to be living by? Are we to be living by the flesh and the lust of it in the world? Or are we to be walking by and living in the Spirit? The Spirit. 1 Peter 2:11 says this, Beloved, I beg you, he says, Peter says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, refrain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. See, these fleshly lusts, they war against our soul. Every single day, guys, we're in a spiritual war, a battle. Okay? These things war against our souls. They are looking to take you out. Back to our text. The lust of the eyes. Wrong desire for things that appeal most strongly to human wants through the power of physical sight. Morbid curiosity to see unlawful and harmful sights for the sinful pleasures of seeing them. Okay? Which, you know, seeing these things, which then can lead to thoughts in our minds, which in return can lead to sinful thoughts, sinful habits. Right? Matthew 5:28 is an example of that. For I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. The lust of the eyes. We are to guard what our eyes are looking at. Because what we look at can turn to sinful thoughts, which then might even lead to sinful actions. And he's saying here, hey, it's better to pluck that thing out than for you to end up in hell. So therefore, guard what we are seeing. Psalms 119:37 says, Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Turn my eyes, O God. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things or sinful things. But revive me in your ways. Keep me, Lord, in your path. The pride of life. Pride being self-confidence. Again, Barnes writes this. The word here used means properly, ostentation or boasting, and then arrogance or pride. It refers to whatever there is that tends to promote pride, or that is in an index of pride, such as the ostentatious display of dress, equipage, furniture, careers, our goals possibly even, etc. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Romans 11:20. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. is not of the Father, but is of the world. Continuing on in verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these things are not of the Father, but they're of the world. Therefore, we should have nothing to do with these things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They're of this world. They're not of our Father. And we cannot claim to be with our Father if we're walking in darkness in these things? Right? That's what John said earlier. If we claim to walk with Father but yet continue in darkness, we're a liar. Truth is not in us. If we claim to have a relationship with Him but yet we hate our brother, we're a liar. The truth is not in us. We need to be led by the Spirit and truly be in the light because Christ is in the light. He is not of this world. We should not be of this world. These things should not be associated with the believer. For God has made us alive and has brought us from a position of enemy to child. Why would one then want to be an enemy of God again? Here we are, you know, we're born sinners. Okay? We're enslaved to our sin. And by His grace, He has made us alive and saved us and made us from an enemy to a child. And knowing that, why in the world would we even think, oh, I'm going to be a part of this world, and they'd be an enemy of God again? None of us in our right minds that are looking to please God would want to be an enemy of God again, especially after what He's done for us. And the thing is, we wouldn't want to be an enemy of God again if we're truly saved. We would be doing everything we can to not be an enemy of God again. When we sin, we would be grieved and we would repent. God, forgive me. I've just offended and sinned against a holy God, a God who has made me alive, a God who has saved me out of darkness. Lord, I don't want to be your enemy. I don't want to offend you. I want to please you, Lord. James 4:4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's crystal clear, guys. If we want to be like the world, we're going to be an enemy of God. If we want to dress and talk and act like the world and fulfill its evil desires, we're an enemy of God. You're making yourself an enemy of God, not, you know. We should not be in any way whatsoever like the world. We're supposed to be following Christ's example, not the world's. I mean, would anyone really raise their hand and say, yeah, I want to be an enemy of God? I mean, come on. If they're a fool, they'd say that. But we don't realize that by the things that we do, how we act, you know, trying to fit into this world, we're making ourselves an enemy of God. We got to wake up. Verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The sinful things of this world are departing. They're going away. They're going to be gone to outer darkness. Therefore, do not be a friend to this world and do not love this world nor the sinful things in it. Guys, don't strive for the things of the world. Strive to be like Christ. Amen? But he who does the will of God abides forever with Him. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, sir, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be like the world. Do not act like it. Do not talk like it. Do not think like it. It is passing away. It is dying. It's not of God. Do not be like it. Do not be associated with the world. We will not abide with God forever if we're of the world. But little children, John is saying, my beloved children, do not love the world. Whether you're a child, a young man, a father, do not love the world. Because God is not of this world, and neither are we. Our home is in heaven with Him. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In the world, you're not going to find that. But in Him, that is His command towards us. In the world, you're going to find selfishness, hate, envy, pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, our own selfish, ambitious goals. Forget God, I don't have time for Him. Guys, our desires should be that we should desire to please Him, to be that child that is obedient to our God, that wants nothing else, to be that child that pleases His Father. And then to pass this along to others. Because He has saved us out of darkness. He has made us alive. Him. The world does not make us alive. But by God's grace and His grace alone, He has made us alive. So why would we want to continue in the world? We wouldn't if we were truly saved. You guys understand that? So walk in the light as Christ is in the light. Be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Do not be caught up in this world and do not be pursuing the ambitions of this world. But draw closer to God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise You. We worship You. Father, forgive us of our sins, Lord. Let it never be said of us, Lord, that we love this world, that we want to be a part of it, the things of this world. Lord, let that not be the case of us. Because You are not of this world. And neither are we. This is not our home. Help us not to fulfill the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. Because You are not associated with those things. Help us, Lord, to not be conformed to this world. To act like it, to think like it, to talk like it. But we have been called to be set apart, to be that light in this dark, sinful world. Lord, convict us. Help us to be that light that is shining to our friends, in our homes, at our jobs. To be that salt and that light, Lord. Lord, help us to be walking in the light as You are in the light. Help us not to be in darkness with this world. But help us, Lord, to be that child, that bondservant of You who is looking to please You, Father. Father, I pray for everyone here tonight that we would strive only to be like Your Son, Jesus Christ. That would be our desire. Pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.